seems a very long time ago now, but once when I was first ordained, which is almost 30, getting closer to 30 years all the time, there weren't very many women clergy. And I've never forgotten the day that my mother, because of course in those days you only had really mail, you didn't get much on email. My mother certainly didn't have a computer, sent me a cartoon clipping. And the cartoon showed a woman lying in bed with the blankets and pillows over her head, holding them like this, and her husband standing looking at her, and she's saying, "No, I am not getting up this morning." And he says to her, "But it's Sunday, it's time to go to church." She said, "I don't care, I'm staying tucked in bed." And he said, "But darling, you're the priest." It was tempting this morning to be that woman. In fact, I'm sure that the devil was thinking, "Oh, this is an opportune time. It's a time change. And it's a snowstorm. And it is once again Sunday. Let's all just stay in bed." So congratulations to all of you for resisting that tempter. Thank you. Yes, it was a close call. It doesn't really have to be a bread or power or safety, does it, that tempts us like it does this morning for Jesus. In the reading, the devil tries to seduce Jesus with the promise of bread when he's hungry, glory and power of all the world's leaders, and the promise of rescue, paired with the suggestion that God is not sufficient enough to keep Jesus safe. All Jesus has to do in return is to worship him. Seems pretty straightforward. So in this scene, it is bread and power and safety. And it seems to me that bread represents what we need, things that keep us alive, the very things that we must have for us to live. Glory and the power talks about relationship to others and the influence that we would like to have sometimes on others and that we would like to be just a little bit better than everybody else. And of course, safety. That Jesus, if he jumped off the cliff, he would not even, his foot would not even be dashed against a stone. And that seems to me talks about us being rescued. How many times in your life have you wanted to be rescued from something rather than actually have to work through it? But the point is that these specific temptations is not really what it's about, is it? Because it could be any temptation. I asked at 8 o'clock how many people were tempted by the broccoli in the grocery store. One person actually said yes. And I said, "Well, that is not me." He said, "But I would never be tempted by the bread." And I said, "Well, I don't give a darn about the broccoli, but lead me to that bread aisle. I will take it all. It's wonderful." But it's not, we are always tempted every time you turn around. But it's not often the temptation towards something like that, being portrayed as something we shouldn't do, but often it's the temptation to stay away from something that we are struck with. And that temptation is the relationship with God that we receive in and through our lives. It's easy to go towards something. It's a lot harder to stay away from that temptation, to say, "Yeah, I don't really need God that much." We often focus on the things we shouldn't do, instead of pointing ourselves to the gift and grace of our identity as the children of God. The devil, of course, knows better. Each one of those temptations that he offered to Jesus sought to erode and undercut Jesus' confidence in his relationship with God, and therefore to undermine Jesus' identity. Jesus is a little smarter, perhaps, than most of us, and so he picks up on it, which is why when the devil offers him bread, he says, "I affirm my trust in God." The next one's a little more transparent. When Jesus is offered the power of the world leaders in turn for his allegiance and worship, Jesus knows that allegiance can only be given to the one who has given him his identity, so to God. And finally, the devil proposes that God is not trustworthy and goads Jesus into a different relationship and testing that one. And Jesus refuses. Every single one of those temptations seeks to undermine the relationship Jesus has with God and with himself. It erodes and tries to undermine the sense that Jesus is worthy of God's love. And in the face of all that, Jesus quotes the sacred story of Israel and says, "No, I'm part of this long line of people who have been in relationship with God. I'm a child of God, and I'm not going to give that up." Jesus says he has enough the way he is, and that being held in the eyes of God, in the palm of God's hand, is more than enough. So for us, bread, power, safety, or could be youth, beauty, and wealth. Those are some things that might tempt us. Or confidence, fame, and being rescued. And it's not often that we're tempted by what we have, is it? If we already have something, we're not too tempted by someone offering something very similar, although we might want more of what we want. On one level, we experience specific temptations very concretely. They're very clear. But on another level, they're all the same. They seek to shift our allegiance, our trust, and turn us away from the one in whom we stand, God, towards some substitute that offers more secure identity. So in some ways, this passage, one could say, is about identity theft. That's a new phrase in the world these days. We're all supposed to encrypt things and have 16,000 passwords and all of those things to keep our identity safe. But is that even a temptation? Is it not the simple fact that the devil or Satan or evil or whatever you want to call it tries to steal away our confidence? Steal away who we are, steal away Jesus' rootedness in God and ours to rob us of ourselves. Just think about the average hour watching television and how many commercials you see, or Netflix. It doesn't matter where you watch, you're still inundated by advertising. 9 times out of 10, the goal of the ad is to convince you that you are lacking. And you are inadequate. And it's quickly followed by a promise that the advertised product will relieve your insecurity and make you a better person. Imagine how slim we would all be if that were true. How perfect our hair would fall, and how our skin would never have a blemish. Or our car would never break down. Or we would never have the threat of identity stealing, because we, of course, would have spent a lot of money having our very security encrypted. Or consider how many of the messages that candidates for political office, or maybe even those in office, how often that message is one of insecurity and fear. If you trust in me, I will change your life for the better. I will give you free beer. Or whatever. Depending on what you listen to, the target will shift. But the message is the same. You need to be afraid, because you do not have enough, you are not enough, but elect me and I will keep you safe. If that is not the devil incarnate, I don't know what is. We're under assault every single day by tempting messages that want us to draw us from the love of God, who created us, who redeemed us, who holds us in all that we go through, and substitute it with something else. So we need to be like Jesus and remember that God loves us more than anything. Loves us enough to send his only son to take on our lot, to be tempted in the wilderness, to suffer the same wants that we have, to be rejected even by his friends, and to die as we are all going to die one day. and yet we will be with God forever. And that is why Jesus was raised for us, to remind us that love and God is more powerful than anything else in the world, more powerful than death, more powerful than the desire to stay in bed, more powerful than that product that will make you live even a more worthy life. So for us during Lent, it's really important to remember that movement from ashes to water, that remembrance of who we are and our human frailty to the anointing of God, that each one of us is God's beloved child. And so maybe that's why we come to church. Maybe that's why we come to church each week, to be reminded of that. To remind it because we can lose our confidence and faith so quickly and so easily. We have many assaults on our identity. And so we come here to this community that understands these words, these acts of faith, to be renewed and restored, to be reminded about God's abundant life and help us to get on with our week and withstand the temptations and help others to see God's unending love. And in Lent, let's be clear, often we focus on what we're going to give up. That's been my whole life. What are you giving up for Lent? What are you giving up? And then, of course, it changed to say, well, no, don't just give something up. Take something on. So it's a double whammy. Don't enjoy things you really like, and then do something you may not like either. Perfect. But maybe we should actually focus on reminding each other about the love and grace of God. Maybe that's what we need to take on. There's that wonderful phrase in the reading this morning, the word is near you, on your lips, and in your heart. Maybe as we enter Lent this year, we can move between ashes and waters with that phrase, that the word is near us, on your lips, and in your heart, and that we be empowered by that rather than threatened by the temptations. Because God loves us and will keep loving us no matter what we do, whether you buy the bread or the broccoli, whether you buy the skincare product or the expensive car, whether you turn away from one relationship and turn to another, whether you don't even know sometimes whether something is a temptation, a test, or a gift. But may we remember that we are enough the way we are, and hear the message of courage and confidence and hope that Jesus gives us this morning. Yes, indeed. Once again, the devil will look for a more opportune moment than probably this one right here, because we're trying to focus on something else. There will be those moments, but we're enough, because we stand in God's love, and God is more than all of us put together. May we have that hope this Lent, and may we move forward, waking up in the morning and going to the things we're supposed to go to, even when the weather is nasty. And may we always hear God's voice saying, you are my beloved child, and that you always can hold on to. Amen.